I think I usually read what I'm fixing to read before I turn them loose, but I didn't know that they would understand all this morning anyway, so we're going to do it. Again, being this is just something that God has laid on me as part of my responsibility when I do get to stand up and share, that I share some things usually from a constitutional standpoint, biblical citizenship standpoint, you know, having a biblical worldview and maintaining that. And, you know, there's a few things took place the last couple of weeks in our nation that if we let it, it can be a bit discouraging to see that we have three major cities that have decided to elect, quote, Muslim mayors. You see, in Muslim, you know, there's freedom. People have, we can get issues with this because we have freedom of religion in the United States, right? Okay, y'all are not excited about that? Okay, well, Muslims, that's not a religion. That is a demonic political system. And under our Constitution, they have no right to set up their things in this nation. We got to understand that. Now, I agree, it's the church's fault, you know, because, you know, when we let things happen in our school system, I think it began before 1963, but that was when it basically really took a foothold. And so, whenever that happened, then we could quit teaching, really, from that point on, the deterioration of teaching the history of this nation. Prayer in schools, honoring the flag, honoring your father and mother, all those things were taught at school. They were helped and instituted there, and when that began to decline, then we began to get influences within our school system that we've got a generation, several really, in a sense, because when we did the biblical citizenship class here, all of us people who are in our 70s and older, some of you were younger that were here, but we realized how little attention we paid in civics and economics when we were in school. Because maybe it was, I don't know, we had one at Friendswood where I went to school, Miss Kennedy, I'm going to tell you what, if you had her for civics and economics, you was getting all of it. I had one of the coaches, and my daughter said coaches should never teach history or things like that because they're not tuned in. You know, it's the history of the football team or the basketball team or whatever. But guys, we are responsible for not standing and holding our ground and saying, no, this is the United States of America, a Judeo-Christian nation built on the principles of the Word of God with founding fathers who were Christians, and most of them were ministers. And so we just sit back and like, well, God will take care of it. No, God works through us. He said, you bring the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God from heaven to earth. We're to institute that. We're to see that it takes place in this nation. Now we have an issue going on to where people are coming in here. You know, and we all know it's spiritual. You know, I don't think we're no longer in the ninth inning of the game. We're in the extra innings now. And it's time to get really serious, you know. And that's, you know, there's some days, which we all know because we all tell each other this. We're each one here for such a time as this. And I'm like, God, I'm not sure you made the right choice on some of us, because me and Brian, we have to adjust our attitude every now and then, because it's like, okay, God, you said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence take it by force. Me and Brian want to get a little more violent sometimes than other, you know, from the standpoint of the word, but not really. But we get back on the base. But we got to know. So I want to read you something that you would think this was written today. I mean, it's called, If There Ever Was a Time, this is in the Founder's Bible, and it's right in the introduction of things. And it's not a terribly long read, but I want to read it because you think, man, this sounds like today, you know. The Bible is called the Word of Truth, and this has stood through the ages and as an undeniable fact. It possesses a unique, unrivaled, and solitary ability to speak to the hearts of people and the circumstances of life as does no other book in the world. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. So wrote Charles E. Weller in 1867. as a simple exercise in warming up his fingers for using a newfangled invention called the typewriter. Little could he have known how perpetually relevant this spontaneous and unadorned sentence would be through the decades. As we look at this particular period of time in our history, certainly no one can fail to see it's timeless for us today. If there ever was a time for those who profess faith in Christ, who are by his own pronouncement the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set on a hill, if there ever was a time to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, it is now. If there ever was a time to do all things without murmuring and disputing, so that we might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, it is now. If there ever was a time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so, it is now. If there ever was a time to stir up the gift that's in us, no longer ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor drawing back for fear of rejection and ridicule, it is now. If there ever was a time to hold fast the pattern of sound words, standing in the grace of Christ, and enduring hardships as good soldiers, it is now. If there ever was a time to shun profane and vain babblings and to flee youthful lust, it is now. If there ever was a time for diligence in presenting our case for Christ with dignity, it is now. If ever there was a time for a private piety to become public virtue, it is now. In the front of an old family Bible, I found these words years ago. This isn't me speaking. This is who wrote this. And if there ever was a time in which they bear repeating, it is now. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It shall fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. That's awakening there. This volume is the Word of God. There are great blessings that abound in the lives of those who love and follow the Word of God, and those who reject it do so to their own harm. That is true of individuals as well as nations. If there ever was a time that was true, it is most assuredly now. May you cherish the Bible and let the Spirit of God write its words upon the tablets of your heart. May your feet be found in walking in its ways and your hands engaged in labor according to its high standards. May it frame the content of your speech and hold the harness of your desires. May your dreams be enkindled by its precepts and your ambitions steered by its unerring compass. The Apostle Paul, while in prison for preaching the gospel, wrote, "But the word of God is not imprisoned." 2 Timothy 2:9. There is great irony in the fact that when the power of darkness orchestrated the imprisonment of Paul through the efforts of religious fanatics, his imprisonment became the occasion for the unleashing of the word of God. Had Paul not been locked up, there's good evidence to conclude that we would not have much of the New Testament as we know it today. Though Paul was bound in chains when he wrote it, there are no prison bars strong enough to hold back God's word from anyone, anywhere. Thus you hold it in your hands even now. If there ever was a time for the word of God to be freshly unleashed, it is now. I think that's awesome. Guys, you know, we need to stop every now and then and stop and think of what Joni and them sang about this morning. You know, it was Jesus. It is Jesus. It was Jesus in every situation and circumstance me and you encounter. You know, to take and be so. I'll tell you what, turn to Job. This isn't the message, but turn to Job. I'll get you to chapters 20. Let me see. I think it is Job 22. This is one of my, favorite deals because it's so important. And especially young people, listen. If you know, I think a lot of us in here, if we could tell you, especially you teenagers, if you that are raising kids right now, and you've got young kids, you know, the Bible tells us if we will raise them up in the way that they should go, they'll not depart from it. But I'm going to tell you, that don't mean attacks ain't coming against them, and will not, and that they will not stray from time to time. It happens because the devil don't want them. He wants you to think you failed as a parent. And you didn't. You know, if we raise them up in the way that they should go, God said they'll not depart from it. And I'm tell you what, standing in that sometimes is like, Lord, I'm not seeing what you promised. He said, you just keep your words in line with my word and let me do it, because the duty's yours, the results are mine. And that's hard, is it not? Come on, y'all can be honest. I mean, sometimes when you see things going awry and you think, Lord, you told me, he said, just cast not away your confidence in me and your word, which has great recompense of reward. You just stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Gird your waist with truth. Where we talked about the armor a few weeks ago, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Keep your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's hard to stay in peace when those things are come bombarding us. You know, and I'm telling you, for me to stay in peace the last few days, when I see people that are being elected to office in this nation that aren't even allowed to be there by our Constitution, and we have a bunch of gutless people up there in Congress and the Senate that are not fulfilling their responsibility. We need to make sure and hold them accountable for fulfilling their responsibilities. They're supposed to be standing and making sure those guys aren't even supposed to be there. Praise the Lord for Kennedy down there in Louisiana that's got the guts enough to call a spade a spade. We have got to, and we've got to be the same way. We got to stand up and know who we are in Christ and fulfill our spot. You know, I don't know the rules in the school systems now, but you know, used to, the parents could come sit in the classroom and listen to what was being taught. And I don't know if they can they still do that, Kath? Well, we need to open the doors back up and tell them, you either listen to us or you're out. Your job's done. And we need to get together and stand. This isn't the message, okay? We need to stand up. For God put this nation together, and we have a responsibility, and we have shirked on that responsibility. So we got to take back ground. So that means we got to be aggressive the way God would have us to be aggressive. So, Job, y'all there? 22? Verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instructions from his mouth. I say this when I'm declaring this and speaking it and praying it. I say, Lord, thank you that I can stay in constant conversation with you. Constant communication, so that we're carrying on a conversation throughout the day. So now on a lighter note, me and Kathy are in Fredericksburg Friday. We just got back from California, and she flew out one way, and then me and my sister drove out. We have a new granddaughter, and she had her October 31st, and so Kathy went out to help Caitlin for abuse, and I was not flying. You know, the word says, give Satan no place. Right now, the airports are a place that would give Satan place if I was there. And so I choose to not be there. So me and my sister, we drove out, and then we all three drove back together, and we got in another night. But we're in Fredericksburg Friday, and I can't wear boots all day, every day anymore. I got to have some other shoes, Hattie, something that's make my feet more comfortable. And they got this shoe called On Cloud. I don't know how many wear On Cloud. You got, oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. It's made a big difference. But I'm in there, and they have a waterproof shoe, but it has a little different cushion deal on it, you know, and stuff. And the lady brings me all this stuff to try, and I try them on. And that one, the waterproof one, it just felt really, really good, you know, but it doesn't have near the cushion in the other one when you're looking at it. And literally, y'all, I mean, I pray in the Spirit regularly. Because I believe God directs my steps. But I mean, every time I put another shoe on, he'd say, no, it's the other one. I've kept trying them on, and I kept walking around, and he'd say, no, that one there. That's the one you want. And I'm finally, Sharon, I'm like, I told the girl, you can put all them others up. I'm going with this one. Amen. And y'all, I don't know, maybe none of y'all experienced this, but walking through HEB, shopping with your wife, and she does a lot more. I buy, she shops. And You're going to say, I just go by the shelf and pick off what I want, Don. I mean, it's like, I'm not looking at all the prices. I need to go. But I walk through there Saturday and Friday and walk out of HEB with no knee pain, no, you know, not sore. You know, I've been walking on that concrete. And the Lord said, I told you that was the shoe you wanted. You know, that's a simple, you think, shoe? God cares about every aspect of our life. He wants to be a part of everything we do. And when we keep ourselves acquainted with Him, we can be at peace. When we stay in constant communication with Him and we put on the armor, then we have access to His peace. We can reject it the same way people reject salvation. We say, no, I'm going to do it this way. Fine. You're going to get right uncomfortable. And usually pretty uncomfortable. So then you have a fit of carnality. And then you got to repent for having a fit of carnality because you were in a bad mood and because you didn't listen in the first place. Has your kids ever done that? Have we, as when we were kids, did we ever do that? Dad said, Mom said, might be better if you do it this way. No, I got it. Okay. My dad, he was really good. He'd tell you twice, and he's like, okay, go ahead. See how it works for you. And but he said, you're going to experience, you know, wouldn't tell me beforehand, but I got to experience the consequences of my rebellion afterwards, whether it was a whooping or just suffering, you know, having to fix what you broke. And God's so good, it's like He gives us a choice. He said, you could go that way, not the way you really want to go, but see how it works for you. And when we learn to laugh at those things in our lives and realize that God cares about every situation and circumstance, son, I don't want you to go through that. That deal, you know, trial and error, experience is the best teacher. Because there's a whole lot of things. If we continue to do it, and as Crystal used to say, you keep going around that same mountain the same way because you're going to learn nothing. You know, that's the definition of stupidity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Do we not have a little bit of that going on? We'll stay away from that. Let's just talk about Jesus. So now let's go to Isaiah 54. God is so, the enemy does not want us to be effective. We understand that, right? That he does not want us to be effective. And so what he tries to do when we get off, you know, we get in our own little way of doing things and we got to kind of get over in the ditch, so to say, speak. And he's like, see, you're not doing like God would have you to do. You're not listening. You're not doing this. That makes you feel unworthy of going and saying, well, you know, I can't expect God to fix it. I'll fix it myself. Oh, geez, that's worse. We all know that. We've all experienced it. You know, it's just a deal. But I was reading, it's one of Kenneth Copeland's daily devotions. And it was on righteousness. And in Isaiah 54:17, you know, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Say, I am righteous. You know, we need to say, my wife is righteous, men. Say, my wife is righteous. Come on, men, speak up. My wife is righteous. Women, my husband is righteous. Y'all are not saying that like you really believe it. And is that not what gets us sometime? Is it like we think, they ain't acting righteous? Do we treat them like they're righteous? Do we treat ourselves like we're righteous? Like we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's like, no, because when we, you know, so many times throughout the day, if we're not staying in that communication, in that conversation with the Lord, what we're doing is we get off, you know, and like, I think I got this. And then it goes awry, and we don't feel righteous. You know, we're not even thinking about righteousness at that point. We're just thinking about getting out of the trap. We don't want no more of the cheese. We just want out of the trap. But when we'll tend to it, when we'll get focused, when we get fixed, and really truly believe that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, not through anything I did, me and you, not through anything we did, but God, when we put on the whole armor of God and we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things are being added unto us, and He sees us as righteous, just like He did Jesus. Y'all are having a hard time grasping that one, aren't you? I do. I got to work at it. But you know what? The devil don't want, you know, the enemy, the principalities and powers, they don't want us to think we're righteous, because then we think, well, I don't have any authority over them. Yes, we do. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Jesus said, I give you the power to bind and loose. And what you bind on earth in the name of Jesus is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loose in heaven in the name of Jesus. So every day, I thank God, I thank Jesus, thank you for giving me authority to use your name. So I bind the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world that you have, and it says us in Colossians 1 or 3 right there, He disarmed them, He made a public spectacle of them, and He triumphed over them. They've been defeated. They are under our feet. We're the feet of Jesus. Are they not under our feet? We got to get fully persuaded that as Abraham was in Romans chapter 4, 19 right there, he said, he is fully persuaded that what God promised he's able to perform. He strengthened himself in faith every day, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. I'm not going to argue with you. Some days it's real hard to be fully persuaded. Things come against you and things happen. But listen, we got to remind ourselves. We got to stay in constant conversation with God, knowing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that He's given us everything that pertains unto life and God. Because we got a job to do. And we ain't got time. Y'all in here do not know. Sharon knows even. There may be a few that know Gary Coates. Did you see the videos yesterday? Let me tell you a quick story about Gary. He's a year or two. He's a year younger than me, right? Huh? You're eight. He survived 2 rounds of rectal cancer. So he has a colostomy bag. Also has a urine bag. He lost his left leg above the knee. He had an infection getting the knee and after a replacement. Don't get in fear if you had a replacement. It was one of them things. Something happened. And it wasn't any fault of the first surgery or anything. But anyway, so he lost that one and got a prosthetic. A year and a half ago now, Kathy, we were still living at Wall before we got to move back to Mason. And Kathy calls me. I'm up on the side of the barn on a ladder. She doesn't know I'm on. And she's horseback in the pasture. And says, get to Gary's. He just got run over by a tractor. So my son, Caleb, he got there first. And the tractor, long story short, the tractor run over him, crushed his other leg, below the knee. So he got that amputated. He has 2 prosthetics. He won money in a team roping yesterday, healing steers. He ain't quit. He said, God got a purpose for me. God still got things for me to do. He ain't never quit. He ain't never give up. I'd have done spit the bit. I said, look, man, this is like Gary. But yeah, the first roping. He's entered at Vegas. They're going to the World Series. And his brother, twin brother, is a saddle maker and Coach Salary. And he built sleeves, so he takes the prosthetics off. His statement was, hold my legs and watch this. So they take the prosthetics off and they slide, sit him in the saddle and slide his legs down in the sleeves and he puts the seatbelt on and he won money healing steers yesterday. That's awesome, ain't it? God's so good. You know, I mean, it's just, but we got to stay, where was I? We stay in constant communication with our Heavenly Father. We got to understand that we're the righteousness. In righteousness, we shall be established. I just told you Romans 4, 19 through 22, but to be established in righteousness means to be in a right place with God. Some days we think, am I really where I should be? Am I in the right place? I can't be in the right place either way I feel. Well, get rid of the feelings. Because the Word says that he established us in righteousness, and the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord, and they'll be in the right place at the right time. So it's, Lord, well, like, Lord, this place feels real uncomfortable at the moment. Okay, well, look up. Look up. We got to set our eyes upon the Lord. We got to stay in that constant communication and conversation with him, because chances are, now listen, I'm not telling you I could do this, but I did get a picture of this the other day. I'm not ready for it. Okay, I'm not sanctified enough to do this right here, but some of you might be, and you might want to try it. I'm looking at a picture that Paula Abbott posted of the airport at DFW the other day. And I don't know where she was flying to, but it was mass confusion. 5-hour waits, long lines of people that are going ballistic. And the Lord said, you could be there and you could just have a church service. And I'm like, I ain't ready for that, Lord. But Dennis shared with me one time, he gets delayed somewhere. But now his wasn't to preach a church service, but he had one lady that he got to just share a ministry word to while they were waiting. I don't know if they had to spend the night or not, but it was a long deal. And she was obsessed with J.B. Mooney. He thought that was kind of, but anyway, he got to minister to her and stuff, you know. But rather than start there at the airport, we need to just start where we're at. And when we're tuned in, we're in a constant conversation with God, then the Holy Spirit's talking to us, and as we're going through the day in that area that we're in, and all those places and relationships that we're, somebody's saying something that God's going to quicken us to, that gives us an opportunity, and they open a door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Amen. We don't necessarily have to preach. It may just, if we're listening on both ends, where they're coming from, and then where God's coming from, and we may just have a little 3cc syringe injection, you know, just a little short something that, you know what, when it's from God, it don't matter if it's 1cc of wisdom. When it's from God, at some point in the near future, it begins to rise up in their spirit. And you know, that's planting that seed. That's being cooperating with God to just say, how can I be a part? I'm the righteousness of you, Father. He tells us so much. It means you and I are able to stand in the presence of a holy, awesome, almighty, pure God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. So when the enemy comes, you know, when we have that fit of carnality, or we look at someone and like, just be honest, Lord, I don't love them right now. And we don't. I mean, it's like, it's better. You know, I'm getting there to where I can say, I don't like them. I love them in the name of Jesus. I don't like them. I won't be around them right now. And as we begin to do that, then God begins to open our eyes, soften our heart, and we begin to be available to do what God has us to do in their lives. Plant a seed, meet a need, whatever it would be. But we got to understand that God, that's how God sees us. We have, you and I, each and every one of us in here, I don't care how you feel this morning, you're able to stand in the presence of a holy, awesome, almighty, pure God without a sense of guilt or inferiority if you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're there. Things creep back in. You know, I mean, I know it's hard to grasp, but there's nothing wrong between us and God. If we're saved, born again, and know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have every right to come to him and say, Lord, I'm a tither, especially, I'm a tither, I'm a giver. You said, he told us, I don't remember where it's at, one of you, he said, put me in remembrance of my words. Lord, I'm reminding you. It's okay to remind him, because we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have every right to come home and say, Lord, this is what your word says. I'm a tither and a giver, and I want my tithers rise. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer for my sake in this area or that area. Thank you for whatever's going on that we need it. Just say, thank you, Lord, as a tither and giver, as a child of the Most High God, as being able to stand in your presence. I receive what's mine. I take what's mine. It's mine. Devil, get your hands off of it. I think back when you were a kid, you know, and I know. unless you just didn't talk at all, you talked to yourself. Didn't you? I mean, it was fun. All those, you know, I think a lot of us, we had great imaginations as children, and we'd talk to things, you know, and just go and, you know, declaring all these things. And I think I can see some of those things having come to pass in my life that were fun things. I'm talking good things, you know. But we made up stories, and we talked, and we did all this stuff, and we get older, and we're like, oh, I can't do that. That's weird. Jesus said, no, 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 no. God said, I spoke. God said, Jesus told us, speak to the mountain. Speak to whatever's going on. We got to declare it. We got to speak it. You know, the checkbook, it's okay to talk to the checkbook. It's okay to talk to the car. It's okay to declare to those things. You know, those are inanimate objects, so many of them, but they're under our jurisdiction as believers. He said, bring the kingdom of heaven, bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. Is there any lack in heaven? I guess we won't need a car, but there's no broke down cars there either. We got to get understand that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're in right standing with God. And so being in right standing, you know, if I'm in right standing, you know, if your kids are, y'all take the examples. When you're in right standing with someone, you're not afraid to go in their presence. If you've wronged them and haven't asked forgiveness, do you not tend to walk around them? Man, I don't want to deal with them right now. Maybe they wronged you. They're not in right standing with you. God don't walk around us. He said, here I am. He said, abide under the shadow of me, the Most High God. Psalms 91. Lord, I'm running. I mean, I have got to where when I mess up, I try not to wait 5 minutes, Sharon, to run back under the secret place of the Most High. Lord, I goofed. He said, yeah, you did, but it's okay. It's fixable. I done fixed it, actually. And so if you'll just get over your own condemnation and walk back in my presence, get back in conversation with me, get back in communication with me, it'll be okay. He said, I pulled us out of the ditch and we just keep going on. The point God's having me with, well, maybe if I stick to my notes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I have to tell myself that a lot. Lois, I just got something I got to do. You know what? You're a new creation, Russ. Yeah, but. Get the butts out of the way. We need to get where we're supposed to be and stand on our own two feet and say, Lord, thank you that I am the righteous of you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All those things are passed away. All things have become new. You know, I ask him a lot of times, would you take some of those old memories away? Like, get that stuff out, you know. He says, well, just talk the word. You replace, you know, what happens when something's there that we don't want to be there and we begin to replace it with something we want to be. Oh, this was my analogy God gave me this morning. Any of y'all got grass burrs? Y'all don't know grass burrs? Me and Kathy, this place, we got a lot of grass burrs and a couple of pastors out here. And a hay man, years ago, we were at Yoakum. And I said, Si, how you get rid of them grass burrs? He said, you fertilize the snot out of that good grass and it chokes them others out. And God said, that's the way with my word. When you'll fertilize it with the word, I'll choke all that crap out of there. We got to get fully persuaded of that. Stay in that constant communication, that constant conversation. And God said, the results, what did I tell you? The duty's ours and the results are God's. He said, you be dutiful about being a doer of the word of God. I'll see to it. It doesn't return void. I'll see to it, it replaces that which you don't need in your life with that which should be there in your life. As you meditate on my words, you get a picture of yourself being an overcomer. As you know, I'm the head, not the tail, and above and not beneath. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony. Testimony is like it's got, we need to, you know, Oh, let me see. It's in Ephesians, I think. Let me find it. I'll tell you where it is. You don't have to turn, but you can write it down if you want to go look at it. It's Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4. Yeah, chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Sometimes I'm the only one hearing. And he said, don't let no corrupt words come out of your mouth that you're going to hear. You need to speak words that are going to impart grace to you, victory, the overcoming that you need in your life. You need to be speaking those things and don't say that other stuff. When we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, a lie. And when most of us grew up on that little saying, well, it's, you know, people talk about you, say, well, then we begin to believe in those things because it goes in and then it gets in the subconscious. That's why it's so important when the Word tells us, be so careful what you set before your eyes and what you open your ears unto. Because I don't care how subliminal, I don't know all the right words for it, but it'll get there and it'll start influencing things. And then the first thing you know, we're doubting or we're thinking, well, maybe that, you know. Listen, we're responsible for who we are. And my daughter, she wants to blame her personality on me. They say the firstborn girl is the dad on hormones. And I'm like, it's your choice to act that way. I chose to act that way back then. You don't have to choose to act the way I did. Still blames it on me. Her husband, he can still laugh at it right now. But this gets kind of comical. But no, we're new creations in Christ. We need to meditate on those kind of things. God made him, Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. You and I understand, you know, it's hard to look in the mirror and talk to yourself like that, isn't it? To look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are righteous. But we should probably do that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sharon, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There ain't nothing unrighteous about you. When we get fully persuaded of those things, this is when things start really taking place in our lives because we realize who we are in Christ Jesus. We must meditate on and develop a righteous consciousness instead of a sin consciousness. Hebrews 5:13, we need to become skillful in the word of righteousness. Choke out, like I told you about the grass verse, choke out unrighteousness with righteousness, with a righteous outlook, with a righteous attitude, with righteous words coming out of our mouth. We begin to choke those things out, and pretty soon, there's no desire to be unrighteous. It's like we look up one day and say, man, this is when we got to really, okay, not think of ourselves real high. Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. No. Don't get conceited. Don't think of ourselves more highly than we are, but know who we are. Not anything I did. But all I did was accept the sacrifice of the blood of Christ. And as I do that, then we begin to choke out unrighteousness. We get a righteous way of life. We know we're here for such a time as this to carry out the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel in our area of influence and make disciples of all men. So when we realize who we are in Christ and we refuse to allow the enemy to convince us otherwise, we become the salt of the earth, a light in the darkness that demonstrates the goodness of God and leads people to repentance. Because, you know, I think a lot of times we'll not speak because we think we're not good enough to speak. Maybe, you know, well, if I go there with them, they've known me a long time. But you know what? When we realize that we're the righteousness of God, God's just showing me this right now. He said, when you do that, when you realize who you are, and I tell you to speak, I can hide. That other stuff won't even come up. The unrighteousness, he said, I have hid that from their memory and from their sight, because I love them. Y'all understand? But we're soon going to develop at such a willingness and a confidence in the Word of God of knowing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not to say we're not going to mess up. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we're He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins to He's done everything. He's got it all covered. We got to believe. We got to be fully persuaded that He's got it all covered. And like, go be like, you know, it's just the enemy. It's not other people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So it's the spiritual wickedness. It's the demonic influences that are in the atmosphere around us. They're trying to tell us, you can't do that. They don't want us to go there because they're going to lose another one of their patrons. Okay? We're going to get someone else delivered, sanctified, and set free. Like how we prayed earlier this morning, as Joni prayed, people getting sanctified, set free, and delivered. They're coming out of darkness into the light. But we've got to understand who we are in Christ. And then we get bold enough to proclaim it. You know, that's our job. And thank goodness I don't have to go do it in the airport right now. I can just do it with the people that God's put me in and around, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not there yet. But that'd be pretty cool, though, wouldn't it? To just, they said Smith Wigglesworth, you know, in Copeland, he says, you know, he didn't do things like this to be haughty or show off, but said he'd be in a restaurant, everybody's eating, and when he got his meal, he'd say, "Stand up, let's pray." And said he'd get rather bold about it. And everybody would take their hats off and they'd stand up and they'd bow their heads. And if we do those things because we're tuned into God and we're hearkening diligently unto His voice, then it's anointed. If we do it because we're wanting to show off, man, we can fall on our face. We got to be tuned in. That's the part about being tuned in and hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord, praying. You know, just, you know, like I say, them shoes Friday, that wasn't no big deal. But I knew. I probably knew after the first time I put them on, but I'm like, I got to be sure. And sure enough, every time I'd put another pair on, God would say, no. You want those. And so when we're, and I give God all the glory because I do. I pray in the Holy Ghost. If you ain't got your prayer language and you want it, so you can pray in the Holy Ghost, come up after church and we'll get it for you. But just, you know, until then, be meditating on the Word and thanking for baptizing you in the Holy Ghost if you ain't brave enough to come up here for that later. But don't be scared of it. Because I'm going to tell you what, being tuned in with God, there ain't nothing like it. Listening to His voice, staying in that constant communication with Him, you know. I don't care if it involves catching a calf, doctrine, or, you know, whatever. Penning cattle. It's just so cool to watch God do things there that, you know, instead of trying to do all of it on our own. Holy Ghost help is really a lot. It's a good deal. It's fun. It makes the day go better. You know, so I encourage you this week, meditate on yourself being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you wrote those down, or look up scriptures on righteousness so that you know who you are. In Christ, we must meditate on who we are in Christ. His arms, His feet, His mouth. We need to act like Jesus, be bold like Jesus, do the works Jesus did, love like Jesus, and be strong in faith. So, let's become, I just wrote these things down, I'll share them with you. Let's become skillful in the word of righteousness. Receive that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Receive that we are established in righteousness and stand before Him without any sense of guilt or inferiority, and live in victory every day and bring others with us. Y'all okay with that? I'm going to tell you what, life gets exciting, and you get to see, you know, when we realize that, people get very receptive to the gospel. We got, you know, we're thinking, well, I may offend them. Jesus offended a lot of people. And God can fix the offense. You know, sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but for me, when someone says something to me that offends me, do you not think about, you know, we're not supposed to get offended? But sometimes people say things that, you know, it gets under our skin. It irritates us. That's offense. If you're having a problem with wondering what it is, that's offense. But you know what happens when they offend us? We think about it a lot. You know, first thought is, how can I get even? And then we repent for being that way and say, okay, you know, and then God said, maybe you ought to listen, you know. A lot of times, offense prompts, it's something in us, especially I think for believers and Christians. Something is said that offends us and think, well, no, not for me. And then Jesus says, maybe the Holy Spirit said, maybe you ought to listen to that a little bit. Well, when we say something that offends a non-believer and it goes against the grain, because what it is usually they're just wanting to protect their own self will and what they consider the right to do things, and think, well, I don't know. I don't want no part of that. But when it's said in God's timing, then boom, we plant a seed, someone else waters it, and someone else harvests it. We get to see the kingdom of God grow. And it makes things better when more people are believers. You know, you get that, Brian? You know, that sometimes it's not just me and Brian's idea of punishment towards something. But when God really began to show me, he said, you know, if a lot of these people were saved, you wouldn't be having all these issues you're having in life, in our country, in our city governments, in our schools. If we could get them saved, because a lot of those people that are filling these positions are anointed to fill those positions. They rejected their godly anointing and took on a perverted one. But if we get them saved and they really operate in the gifts and callings that God has on their lives, it would be a lot better. I just think, well, they're dumb and stupid. We just need to get them out and put someone in there that believes. Well, maybe, you know, y'all don't think that way, I know. Hey, thank y'all. It's been I encourage you this week, please, build yourselves up on knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm not in. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, the first key is, it has to, if we're not under the blood of Jesus, and if we don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he lived on this earth for 33 years, was crucified, died and resurrected, raised from the dead by God. If we don't believe that, then if we're not there, then we're not under the blood of Christ yet. We haven't received that forgiveness and salvation. And it's again with our mouth. We got to confess those things with our mouth. So if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to do that, you want to walk in your destiny, we're all going to pray a prayer, and we're just going to ask you to pray that prayer with us. And if you do, if today is your day to give your life to Jesus, to get forgiven, cleansed, and under the blood of Jesus where you can walk in the foot, because listen, go read Psalms 139. If you're an unbeliever in here today, and you go read Psalms 139 in there, and it tells us that he knew us this one before he formed us in our mother's womb. He fashioned our days for us before we were conceived. And for those of you that get a chance to share with people concerning abortion, you read that right there and you don't have to say another word. Because then you can, you know, when they rebut and say, you think God didn't know what he was doing when he already had your days fashioned for before you were ever conceived. So you think it's right to commit abortion? And if you've had one, please, God will forgive you. It's okay. It's done. That's in the past. You're a new creature in Christ. So don't get under condemnation. I'm not going there with that. But if today you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, everyone in here is going to pray this prayer. And we're going to pray it out loud. And we just ask you to pray along with us. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just say this with me. Father God, I thank you today for Jesus. That you sent Jesus to live on this earth, to die for me. And then you raised him from the dead. And I believe that with all my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from that unrighteousness, so that I am now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, born again, filled with the Spirit, living my life with you, Father, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If today was your day to make Jesus Lord of your life and you prayed that prayer, we won't get you a Bible. We won't embarrass you, but I'm going to count to three. Just raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Over here? We got one over here. Anybody else? And for those that have gotten saved recently in our new salvation today, one set one today, Lord. Amen. I'll say amen. And then, Cloud, we have one set today, Lord. We praise you, Father. We have a new. The angels in heaven are rejoicing because we have a new partner, member of the family of God. And we need to remind everyone, I don't know when we do another baptism deal, but if you got saved today, we do, huh? Next week? Next month. Okay. So, and if you don't have for those visitors, if this is the church that God lead you to, man, we welcome you. If not, please find a faith, teaching, Word of God-based church and get plugged in, because where you planted, you're going to grow and fulfill the destiny God's called you to. So, with that being said, I give it to Howdy, and thank you all so much.